Entrepreneur Weekly interviews the brilliant leaders of today in order to provide a stepping stone of wisdom on the journey to personal business ownership. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Well, today we've got a very interesting guest in our first segment. His name is Craig Grevey. He is a chief strategy officer for a big agency in Los Angeles and around the nation. Craig leads efforts in content marketing, digital, social media research, insights, and analytics for world-class client organizations. He is also known for building his agency's groundbreaking strategy and transformation practice. Often cited as bucking orthodox ways of thinking, he merges traditional business consulting with marketing and brand leadership in cutting-edge ways in each engagement. Along with his long list of professional accomplishments, Grevey emphatically focuses on social good, believing that being a good person is as important as doing good work. During his career, he has always prioritized the building of a diverse team of incredible talent, and he also sits on 3 nonprofit boards. He's a graduate of Columbia Law School, the University of Southern California, and DePaul University, currently lives in Los Angeles. He is an outside-the-box thinker. You guys can find him at The World According to Craig. Craig Grevey, spelled G-R-E-I-W-E. And boy, he's got some interesting things to say. Then let me just get to these bodacious things you said. Social media is in a massive crisis right now. Does that mean we should continue to embrace it or delete it? I got to tell you something. You have struck a vein right there, I think, because many, many people feel that way, especially with all this fact checking and all this stuff that's going on. And, you know, it's like, call it fake media or whatever. There's all these things going on that is very confusing. Why do you say that social media is in a massive crisis right now?
Well, I think we have at its core a misunderstanding about what social media is supposed to be. And that's because social media companies started by saying that they were one thing and being another. The answer is they are just advertising platforms. Mm. So we go on them because you think that I want to connect with my grandma Betty or my uncle Jim. But I'm only on there. My utility to those companies is only on there to the extent that they can serve me advertising. And that has created an entire ecosystem of fake content and incentive to create fake content, because those folks can propagate disinformation or messaging or whatever message that they want, whether it's true or fake. And the companies behind those platforms have no incentive to tamper down that volume, because the more volume, the more advertising dollars they generate, and the higher the cost of those advertising dollars to reach individual people. And so when we create a profit-centered mechanism like social media, but we say it's to engage people, we end up with the type of conflict we have today, where anyone can say anything, and your original purpose of seeing your best friend's baby photos or celebrating the birthday of your cousin gets lost in the morass of a bunch of people shouting at each other.
Ain't it the truth? And the funny thing is, I guess if I for a moment take off my entrepreneur hat and put on my big tech company, advertising company hat, I would say when somebody says something that goes against what I believe or what the company rules are, you put them in jail for a little while, you know, you shut them down a little bit. And that's what's going on, because they're interfering in your ability to deliver advertising on your platform. Because really, at that point, it belongs to somebody. I mean, Facebook and Google and all these things, they belong to somebody. They can set the rules. Yikes.
Correct. There is no First Amendment right on a private company, right? I don't get to walk into my local coffee shop and scream whatever I want. The coffee shop can ask me to leave.
Yeah.
So the same is true for Facebook or Twitter or anyone else, right?
Hold, private hold tight. Company. All right, stay with us. We're talking to Craig Grevey. You can find him on Instagram and Twitter at The World According to Craig. You're listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. You can find us at entrepreneur.com. We'll be right back. Stay with us for more.
Stay tuned. There's more Entrepreneur Weekly after these messages. Ooka chaka, ooka, ooka, ooka chaka, ooka, ooka, ooka chaka, ooka, ooka, ooka chaka, ooka, ooka, ooka. I can't stop this. Discover unstoppable industry influencers who celebrate disruptive thinking and game-changing business strategies on Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Welcome back. It is Entrepreneur Weekly. I'm Alan Taylor, and we're talking about why social media is bad for America and why should we delete it? Oh my gosh. It's because social media is a big advertising platform at the end of the day, full of fake content. So let's do another one of these bodacious things you said. There's too much content, and it's not about quality, and I'll add anymore. There was a time when it was about quality, but you're right. It got to the point where there were production companies producing really nice quality stuff. And anymore, it's about, oh, the shock troopers. Can I say that? Guerrilla advertising or marketing. I don't know. Give your thoughts on it.
Yeah, I mean, listen, the same thing that's true that makes social media difficult to navigate is what makes content difficult to navigate. There's a whole lot of people out there who are looking to say something to make money off of it. And the answer is there is really great content out there. It's just really hard to find.
Right.
And it's buried under an avalanche of everything from a TikToker chronicling every aspect of their life to a brand doing the same thing because they think that the TikToker is relevant. If we would just start by focusing on what people want to see, we could return to our roots, right? We could return to our roots and everybody would be happier. Brands could reach their consumers. Social media could actually be what it would, you know, what we want it to be, which is a way to connect with that content, to find content you like. So we could change the way that the system operates. But right now, there's just too much of everything, and it's just one big mess.
I call some of these, this content, I guess you might say, shock troopers, because the more shocking the scenario is, the more people watch it, and they'll watch it over and over again. Some of these stupid things are set up, and they're tricks, and they're, well done video productions where, it makes me sick after a while because I'm like every other human. I have a hungry brain, and my mind is hungry for information and interesting content, but I have to sift through so much of it anymore that it's driving me nuts. But even we're kind of doing it a little bit because, even starting out, as they called it, a shock trooper, there's too much content and it's not about quality anymore. And social media is bad for America. Why? These are things because it makes people, it's a hook. It makes people listen, but at least we're trying to cut through the crap and talk about something interesting. But here's another one you said that is a little more shocking to me. Studies show more Americans are buying homes than ever before. That's not a good thing. Why do you say that?
Well, we have this idea. Again, we've gotten far away from what reality is and just the story we want to tell, right? So home sales are through the roof as people leave urban centers. The companies that are making homes, stock prices are up. But we bought homes in the 50s and 60s because that was the American dream. That was a way to put in your money and have it grow steadily over time. But how we create wealth has changed in 80 years, but we're still going around telling people you should buy a home, right? And that's a way to create wealth. When if I had taken the down payment for my house and invested it in Amazon, I'd have 4 times as much money. The stock market isn't the only way to do it, but if we don't reframe and update what we think we're supposed to do, whether it's how we're supposed to reach people through content, what social media is supposed to do, not recognizing it's an advertising center, whether it's buying a house, if we don't reframe things around the way today's world operates, then we're not going to go anywhere. And I think that's, we've got to update the American dream, so to speak, as buying a home used to be, but we've also got to update the way that we think things are supposed to work and what we expect from them.
That one you may have lost me a little bit on, only because I actually understand both sides of the equation, because you know, you put a sizable down payment on a house, although some people don't have to put one because first-time buyer, you know, things. You have all kinds of different incentive programs to buy homes these days. But I get it. The problem is that who's got the crystal ball that knows what stock to invest in, like you said, Amazon? And the problem is everybody knows that if you buy a home and you stay in it 20 years, you will eventually have some equity in it. So, but I get it. You know, it's a good conversation to have. And on the other side of the break, I've got another shocking thing I want to talk about from you. This one is the divide in this country isn't Democrat and Republican. It's the extreme versus the middle. Craig Grevey, you're throwing some big old juicy bombs out there today. And I'm biting on them all. I like it. This is not really shock trooper stuff. This is more just food for the mind. Entrepreneur Weekly, part of Entrepreneur Magazine, on newsstands everywhere. Pick up an issue. Visit our website, entrepreneur.com. And we'll come back with more Craig Grevey right after this. Gosh, this is good stuff. We need more of this. We'll be right back.
Can't get enough of Entrepreneur Weekly? Check out our podcast on iTunes for even more content. Subscribe today. Discover unstoppable industry influencers who celebrate disruptive thinking and game-changing business strategies on Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Welcome back. Talking with Craig Grevey, and this man has got a lot of interesting things to say. Very bold. You know, fortune favors the bold. I respect that a whole bunch. Interesting stuff, you said. Okay, let me go back to this one because, you know, time that we're in right now, this one has got a hook in it. The divide in this country isn't Democratic and Republican. It's the extremes versus the middle. Give me some on that because there's a lot of people right now that are confused. And so what's your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, listen, it can be tempting to believe the loudest voice in the room, whether that loudest voice is, as we talked about, being amplified by algorithms on Facebook or Twitter, or just the loudest voice around you in your family. But, you know, the extremes are the loudest voices that, you know, if we look at who's watching Fox News and MSNBC, who's watching the cable channels, we're talking about 10%, 15% of the American population. The vast majority of people don't live on those networks. They don't get their news from them. They don't get their news from Breitbart, and they don't get their news from Occupy Democrats. And they're really tired of being shouted at by the extremes. And, you know, so they're quiet. And I think that's the silent majority in the middle is a whole lot of people who actually have a lot of common ground and are pretty reasonable, but are being painted as there's just a whole big left and a whole big right, and you've got 70 to 80 million people on each side ready to go to war. And I just don't think that's the case.
Mm. What is the case then? I mean, as far as what are the solutions, in your opinion, to what we're dealing with right now? You have obviously a divided country, and social media is feeding this frenzy. I get that's why you're saying here at the beginning of the show, social media is bad for America and why we should delete it, because it's just a giant advertising platform. The advertisers are the ones that are feeding like vultures on these people that are wanting to kill each other. But what would your solution be? I'm just curious.
It depends on where you are. In social media, it's tightening the networks and restricting access, so that it truly is a place for people to connect. You'll get more relevant content, which would allow those companies to sell advertising at higher prices. They can still make the revenue by selling quality over quantity. But as a whole in America, I think it's about having a neutral voice. Just like it's not good to have social media networks that are run based on ad dollars, it's not good to have television networks that are run based on ad dollars, because you have the incentive to be as outrageous as possible to drive up those advertising dollars. Right. We need credible, independent sources of information that people can trust. Mm. And we've gotten away from that because we just keep shouting at the ends. But the reality is Americans have far more in common than they differ on. Mm. Right? That's why Joe Biden was able to pull ahead narrowly in such a contested election, I don't think that would have been the case with a more extreme candidate. You know, and people like to harken back, they will, you know, he's from 47 years ago. Well, 47 years ago, we didn't have Fox News and MSNBC and Breitbart and Occupy Democrats screaming at each other. So there's something to be said for that moderation of the middle.
Okay. Let me ask you, since you're, you know, you're a marketing guy, you're a chief strategy officer, what do you make when brands, big brands, take sides? Smart, not smart? What do you think?
I think it depends on what side they're taking. And I don't mean left or right, but I mean, are they taking the side of transparency, honesty, equality, the things that undergird this country, or are they taking the side of divisiveness? A brand saying, okay, you know, let me support, you know, Tucker Carlson, isn't, let me go in deep, isn't helpful. But a brand that can stand for progress and equality and being nice to each other and being respectful of each other, those are the sides that I would support a brand taking. And, you know, nobody's going to argue that a brand shouldn't be anti-racism, right? So right. There's common ground for us to find with the vast majority of Americans, and brands can take sides to support what the vast majority of Americans believe and how they operate.
I think lately with what's going on, it's such a slippery slope. It can be so dangerous when you start taking sides on political things. Although I have to admit that even, you know, at some point I've taken sides a couple times and I think to myself, oh no, I'm committing brand slaughter, you know, but I just feel like that we're in a place in the country right now where you have to kind of speak up, but not with an angry way, not with a, you know, ugliness. We need to figure out how to find kindness, you know? Anyway, wow.
Putting people first.
Yeah.
Well, putting customers first, putting consumers first, putting their needs first. You can't go wrong as a brand if you put your customer and their needs first.
Yeah. Touchy subjects here, brother. I give you props for having the goo-goo berries to bring some of these things up. I mean, social media, I think we can all agree that it's a mess right now. A mess! Anyway, wow. All right. Once again, if you want to find out any more about Craig Greevy, his name is spelled interesting. It's Greiwe. Sounds like Greevy, but it's Greiwe, Craig Greevy. You can find him at The World at Craig on Instagram and Twitter. Thank you, brother. Appreciate your courage.
Of course. Thanks for hearing me out. Hopefully we can inspire something better.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. This is Entrepreneur Weekly. We'll be right back.
I want to roll with him. A hot pair we will be. A little gambling is fun when you...
You're listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
So the idea of this radio show is to give you one more resource to the brand, Entrepreneur, Entrepreneur Magazine. We've got the entrepreneur.com website. We've got videos you can watch, radio shows like this one, podcasts. We've got everything, you know, live events, you name it. Entrepreneur is the full-service smorgasbord for the entrepreneur. Joining us right now to talk about mean, obnoxious bosses is my friend Ruth King, the profitability master and author of Profit or Wealth. You can find Ruth King at profitorwealth.com on the web. And I have been accused, Ruth, of being a mean, obnoxious boss, usually by people right after you fire them. You're mean and obnoxious, but I'm sure that I was mean and obnoxious at some point. But how do we deal with, you know, traits? Let's just say traits of mean, obnoxious bosses. And how do you confront that as an employee or as a, you know, just a business person? Maybe the boss sometimes, let me just clarify, can be a client, right? And so you can fire clients, but anyway, so let's talk about three traits of mean, obnoxious bosses, and then we have plenty of time. We'll just go all over the place with this.
Let's start with the comment you just made about firing somebody.
Yeah.
Because I don't consider it firing. I call it career readjustment program.
Yeah, okay, perfect. It's true, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, they obviously did not fit in your company.
Right.
But this doesn't say that they're not worthy, they don't do a good job, they just didn't fit. I mean, over the years, I have, quote-unquote, had many people go through my career adjustment program, and they come back and say, thank you for firing me.
Yeah.
I'm now happy doing what I'm doing. So I never look at firing as, you know, mean, cruel, obnoxious from a boss. I look at it as saying, okay, let's readjust your career and help you find someplace where you really do thrive.
Got
it. Right?
But let me just, first of all, just say, what a wonderful human being you are. because it's like, you know, you're fired, right? No. When it comes to Ruth King, it's, let's talk about this career adjustment program we have. It's just right for you. It means get the hell out of here.
No. That's right. Let's find some place that you would be productive at, you would be happy at. You're obviously not happy here.
Right. God, that's beautiful, I got to tell you. And, you know, this is honestly, it is truly what I try to do. I actually had had to do this, matter of fact, just the other day. And I said to the guy, he wasn't an employee, but he was a contractor. And I said, you know, I can't pay these rates anymore because the world has changed. And there are people that are willing to do what you do for less money. You can either make an adjustment or we're going to have to put an end to this whole thing. And he's like, well, you're firing me. I said, no, I'm giving you an option. Well, he took the option and away he went. But then he told people that I fired him. And I thought, first of all, you don't work for me. You're a contractor, but I thought, isn't it funny how, you know, people see things differently? And maybe he saw me as that mean, obnoxious boss, when the reality is right now in our world, we have to make adjustments. I don't care who you are. Everyone's making adjustments in their lives. And you know, he was on a couple of 2-year long deal that we made 2 years ago that was time for an adjustment. So anyway, but, you know, I try not to be a mean, obnoxious boss, but I have to think that there are people out there that deal with mean, obnoxious bosses. Since I am the boss, I haven't had to experience that in many, many years because I've been the boss. I'm an entrepreneur. I've always been the boss, but I have fired clients. But listen, what are we talking about when you talk about three traits of these mean bosses, and you also talk about some good humor, but give me these traits.
Okay. Yes. Let's talk about the first one. Okay. Yeah. And I'm going to start this with a story. I was sitting in the office of one of my clients, and we were in a meeting with their employees, and he starts yelling at them. And I mean, physically yelling and screaming at them. And I'm shocked. I mean, I kept my mouth shut. I didn't say anything. And then he goes, meeting's over. Go to work.
Wow.
And I was like, I watched the tension in the room raise. I watched the morale go down. And these people went out to talk to their customers. I mean, can you imagine how that day went for most of them?
Yeah.
And I said to him, look, I said, if you got to, you know, first of all, yelling and letting somebody, you know, go to work after that, you're leaving them in very bad situations simply because they're going to project that on their customers.
Right.
And I don't think he really realized what he did. But, you know, it was like, oh, my gosh, you can't yell at your in a meeting and then say meeting over. It just shocked me.
Yeah, it's
and
like so public degradation. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, so if you're punishing in public, and that's what I consider public, I mean, you're yelling at everybody, even though it was one person who did it. And he probably felt about, you know, 2 inches tall at that particular point,
right,
because everybody knew who it was. And you know, he was yelling at all of them for this thing that this one person did. And I'm like, come on, give me a break. Do it in private.
Right.
And so he never forgot that. It was like praise in public, punish in private. And,
right,
you know, mean, obnoxious bosses would do that over and over and over again. And, you know, you as an employee, I'm looking at it going, you know, why are you putting up with that? Because, yeah, you may need a job, number one. But number two, is your self-worth so low that you're willing to be yelled at like that?
Right.
It's just, yeah,
well,
it's really, really hard.
That causes post-traumatic stress for people, too, I got to tell you. Because,
yeah,
and there's a kind of That's psychology right there. Bad psychology all the way around. I feel for people that have mean, obnoxious bosses like that. All right. You know what?
Okay.
I'm noticing. Hold on.
Yeah.
Let me take a break because I'm thinking to myself, you know, I take this show very personally, as you can tell. I take my job and my, you know, as a boss and also as, you know, sometimes I am the employee of somebody that hires me to do something, even though I'm a contractor. I take it very personally. I don't like ending on a bad note, but sometimes you just gotta fire the client, which I've done. We'll come back and talk more with Ruth King. She is the profitability master, author of Profit or Wealth, and there is a big difference right there. This is a touchy subject, everybody, but I think a lot of people are going through this. Some of these things lead to suicide. I'm serious. This is why it's a serious topic today, and we're going to cover it in depth with Ruth King. This is Entrepreneur Weekly.
Stay tuned. There's more Entrepreneur Weekly after these messages.
Well, the heat is getting hot here in the room because we're talking about a sensitive subject. Mean, obnoxious, cruel bosses that punish in public, that think their employees are mind readers. They play favorites. They play games. They cause post-traumatic stress. It's not right. Ruth King is here talking about this, the Profitability Master, and she's the author of Profit or Wealth. You can find her at ruthking.info or profitorwealth.com on the web. Ruth, it is a subject that we need to talk about every so often because, you know, we're entrepreneurs, Entrepreneur Magazine, and not all entrepreneurs are an entrepreneur yet. They're a budding entrepreneur, so they have that job still. And this topic that we're talking about is what will make them make the jump from what could be a nice job and a nice career into taking that chance, pulling the ripcord out of, you know, a corporate job and becoming an entrepreneur. So I guess this is kind of like, this is the tipping point for some people. And you know what? The world outside today is causing a lot of this. And thank you for being brave enough to talk about this subject because a lot of people don't like to talk about it because post-traumatic stress, it's controversial when employers yell at their employees or, you know, I've had people yell at me that hire me as an outside contractor. And when it happened to me one time, it was a big magazine organization, actually. I got to tell you, it's funny because this guy yelled at me to go back to that topic. He yelled at me. And I looked him right in the eye and I said, excuse me, you can't yell at me. I'm not your employee. I said, I'm a contractor. I won't stand for that. And his employees looked at him and he was like, well, then you're not going to be a contractor for long. And he walked away. And you know what? I followed him down to his office and I went in there and he sat in his chair like a little angry 3-year-old kid. And I closed the door and I said, let's talk about what is going on here. You know, we had a great talk. This has been 20 years ago. We to this day are still really good friends. He was having a bad day. It wasn't me at all, you know? Mm-hmm. So anyway.
You were the messenger.
At that moment. Right.
The messenger.
Yeah. So anyway, we were talking about three traits. You gave us one, which is people, you know, bad, obnoxious bosses punish in public. Let's go to the next one.
Next one is, which drives me absolutely insane, is that the mean, obnoxious boss thinks that you can read his or her mind.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
I mean, come on. I mean, imagine you're going to, you know, one of your restaurants or something along those lines, or another thing, and you have employees and you want it done a certain way, but you just think they are going to do it the way you want it done without telling them how to do it.
Right.
It doesn't work.
Yeah. And I think we're all guilty of that, honestly. I know that I've done that because I've had my, I can't read your mind. And I'm like, grr. But you know what? Pride goeth before the fall. Either you can admit it or you can fall with it. You know what I'm saying? It's like, it's so destructive for those of us. Because again, I have to look at my own self that have done that because you do. And my wife, I mean, look, I've been almost married 40 years. She said, I can't read your mind. You got to communicate. Communication is so important. Yep. Oh my gosh, communication. Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
You know, so you've got to give direction to the way you want things done. And then you can't go back to number one if they're not doing it the way you want it done, thinking that they know exactly how you want it done without you telling them, right, and scream at them.
Right, right.
It don't work.
Oh, and then people do this over and over and over again, year after year, and they keep burning through employees and burning through people and hurting people. And, you know, I feel so bad about it because, they keep expecting a different outcome, but they're not changing themselves. Of course, the definition of insanity. All right.
Insanity. Yep. That's exactly right.
What's next?
Yeah. The other thing that's really important here is, clear set of directions. Write down policies and procedures. I know people think, okay, well, I know how to do it. I've done it for, 20 years, 5 years, 10 years, whatever it is. But nobody, number one, is going to do it exactly like you did it. Right. And you've got to get over that, because they're going to be employees. They're not going to put as much time into things. They're not going to put as much effort into things because it's not their business.
Right. Wow. Okay, so what I want to do, because we've talked about, some of these horrible mistakes that we as entrepreneurs make, that we as employees have experienced, business people make and have experienced. I would love for you to talk about what can be done if you are experiencing this type of treatment right now. I did not know what to do when it happened to me, but the first thought that came into my head was, I don't work for this man. I'm not his employee. I had a contract and an agreement, and I thought, if he yells at me, he must yell at everybody, and I have to be willing to lose the entire agreement and be able to walk away from it and be able to show people that are working for him that sometimes you do have to walk away for your own sanity. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And so when we come back, let's talk about that, because,
this is
a sad but daily occurrence in the business world. And it also happens at home. We take that home and we do it to our kids and our family and our loved ones. So this is something we really need to discuss. Ruth King is the Profitability Master, and her book, Profit or Wealth. Pick it up bookstores or just go to profitorwealth.com. You can find it there. Don't forget also, check out our website at entrepreneur.com for more podcasts. If you're listening to our podcast or on the radio station you may be listening to, there's more of our radio show as podcast at entrepreneur.com also. We'll be right back. It is Entrepreneur Weekly. Need a mentor? One-on-one online sessions with Entrepreneur Magazine's experts can help you start a business, grow your business, build your brand, fundraise, and more. Book your one-on-one session with experienced business owners and media experts. Jason Pfeiffer, editor-in-chief of Entrepreneur Magazine, can help you perfect your business pitch to media. Businesswoman Kathleen Griffith, founder of Grace & Company, can help improve your growth and marketing strategies. Need guidance on improving your leadership skills? Elizabeth Gore, president of Alice, can help you become a strong, value-driven leader. So what are you waiting for? Book your one-on-one session with Entrepreneur's lineup of experts today. Visit entrepreneur.com/mentors. Again, that's entrepreneur.com/mentors.
You're listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Well, our guest Ruth King is known as the Profitability Master. She's author of the book Profit and Wealth. She's a reoccurring guest on our show here. I like Ruth. I love Ruth. I think that she has got brilliant things, like she taught me today. You know, don't fire somebody. Give them a career adjustment program. Give them an option.
That's it. That's absolutely it.
Okay, so we've talked about the good, bad, and the ugly, about mean bosses, obnoxious bosses. If a person is experiencing this right now, how about some advice, Ruth?
All right, number one, what is that person's normal personality style? All right, there are some people that are, the guys who go out and yell, and if you go back to them and don't do what they do, as you did with that one guy, you walked into his office and closed the door and said, "What's going on here?" A lot of times you can do that, but you have to have enough guts to do it.
Right.
You have to have enough confidence in yourself that says, "I want to stay here. number one. I like this job. I like this company. Because people don't leave their company. They leave their bosses. Right. I mean, if you know, the really good people will put up with a bad boss for probably 10 minutes until they find another job.
Right.
The bad ones will stay. All right. So let's assume your boss goes out and yells at you. Again, do it in private. Do not do it in public. Don't do what he did, i.e. So go into his office, find a time, close the door, and say, let's have a conversation about this. What's going on? And be quiet.
Yeah.
Let that person just talk.
Yeah, that's what we did.
Nine times out of 10, they'll realize it and go, oh, crap, and apologize. I don't know whether this guy apologized to you or not, but the reality is number one, you have to have enough self-esteem to actually, you know, take a really deep breath, find the time to go into that person's office, hopefully right after the yelling event occurred.
Right.
And then close the door, make sure it's in private, and say, what's going on?
Yeah. You know, what's interesting about what happened with my situation was, I think he just misunderstood something and he was having a bad day and he just unloaded. And I think that happens a lot. And I guess I have to admit it, that I do this to my wife because her and I are business partners. She's the CFO. I'm the guy, the front man, you might say. And every now and then I just, you know, it's like, why do you do that? And, you know, I'm having a bad day. But that's not an excuse, people. It's not. Mm-mm. So anyway, but that's, you know.
No, don't take it on your wife.
No, it's not good. But I've been
run a mile.
I've been married. Yes, I've been married almost 40 years. It's coming up on 40 years. And, you know, I have the best wife in the world. God bless her. And but this is the thing. This guy that I had this thing with years and years ago, I don't really work with him that much anymore. But whenever there's an opportunity, he calls me. How you doing, brother? You know, I mean, we created a wonderful relationship because I did not give to him. I gave love for his anger. In other words, I decided, you know what? I do like this guy, but I'm not willing to accept his way. So it actually turned lemon into lemonade, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, absolutely. And let's assume that, you know, most of the time you really like your boss. Most of the time you really like your job. And every once in a while, it's just the pain in the butt. All right.
Right.
Do what you can do. I would suggest that most employees know when their bosses are in a good mood or a bad mood after you've been working there for a little while.
Right.
And if what this person did was totally out of character. I mean, normally he doesn't yell, normally he doesn't scream, normally he doesn't do stupid stuff. It's really important at that point for you to take a deep breath and find a place that's not in public, you know, a private place in his office, shut the door, say, okay, what's going on? And listen.
Yeah. You know, Rudyard Kipling has a poem, If. Have you ever read that poem?
Yeah. Absolutely.
And
yeah.
It says in there, if you can keep your head about you when all else are losing theirs and blaming it on you. That one thing has been resonating in my life when things go bad. I always remember, if I can just keep my head about me and not get caught up in the moment, that is such an important thing for all people in all situations. Keep calm and deal with it with a cool head. You know, cooler minds prevail, right? No, good stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. The other thing that you may want to also do is, if your boss's personality is such that they just have to calm down and just kind of be by themselves, the next morning, go into that your boss's office and close the door and say, can we talk about what happened yesterday?
Right, exactly. I love it. I love it. You know what? Cooler heads do prevail. And we also have to learn how to love each other, because the biggest thing I've learned in all these years of marriage is that I'm not always right. And maybe I need to let her have her say, you know, and listen, right? And,
right.
You know, thank God that she has forgiven me and I've learned how to forgive myself. So, Ruth King, thank you so much. RuthKing.info on the web, or profitorhealth.com, www.profitorhealth.com. Now you've got some good info. Post-traumatic stress. That's right. And CAP, Career Adjustment Program. We all sometimes need one of those. All right. Entrepreneur.com. We'll see you next week. Thanks, Ruth.
Thank you.
This program is copyrighted by Entrepreneur Media Incorporated.